Hello. Okay, hi. Welcome for the very first time to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast. I am literally so excited right now, and I'm not excited to be like recording this right now. I'm excited for the fact that I know so soon you're going to be listening to this, and it just makes me so excited. So I started this podcast because people often describe craft brewing as an art form. And it is. It's a science, it's an art form. But the second you start talking about the fact that craft brewing is an art, I found within like 1 second, people are talking about like yeast strains and the timing of hop. And as a consumer looking for some content on this, I was like, just stick to the can art. Like, cool craft beer cans is what I love, is really what brought me into the industry. Hence the name Beer Can Lover. I literally just love cool beer cans, much more than I love beer, to be honest. I wanted to know more about it. I wanted to know, you know, where did this label come from? Like, so many labels are so crazy. Like, where does that even come from? Whose idea was this? Do you have an idea for a label before you even make the beer a year ahead of time? Or how does this process work? Because the creativity and the artistry and the passion in the craft beer industry is just, it's really remarkable. And if you're listening to this, I hope that you can understand that because you're somewhat part of it. But if not, I want this to be kind of like an inclusive thing. I love the industry, but it's really intimidating. And it can be scary if like you walk into a brewery and there's a tap list of like 30 beers and you're like, maybe I shouldn't be here. Like maybe this isn't for me. Maybe these people just know more than I do. So I want this to kind of be like a really inclusive thing where if you don't know anything about craft beer, but you want to, we're here for it. But also kind of really bringing in the artistry and the creatives in the industry and that side of it, because I think, I mean, they just have these amazing works of art that are then crumpled and, I mean, hopefully recycled just all the time. And I want more focus on that side of the industry. And I want to know where these labels came from. I want to know, you know, what is going on with this beer. And often, it has nothing to do with the beer itself. Like, truly, to be honest, when I first started out doing this, I thought I was going to find some trends like, okay, something super hoppy is always going to be like a green can-ish, or, you know, a sour will always be a bit more funky colors and a little more whimsical. But there are no rules. There are no rules in this industry. And that's what makes it so much fun. But that's what also makes there be so many questions. It's like the amount of breweries in this country and around the world that have insane designs and marketing and branding, that clearly so much work went into that. So many hours were poured into making this be like the dopest thing. And then you talk about the art of beer and you're talking about yeast strains. I'm sorry. I like my, oh gosh, what's it called? The Bacillus, whatever. If you know what I'm talking about, then that was probably embarrassing and I butchered it, but hopefully you got it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please ignore me. So that's kind of just where I saw the fact that I wanted to enlarge the conversation surrounding beer labels and art. So kind of how I got here is, you know, I'm not a massive beer drinker. And I know that's like silly for me to even admit necessarily. I mean, I love trying different styles. I'll try every beer, different styles. But like every time I go anywhere, I'm getting like, you know, 4 4-ounce pours or whatever the smallest thing I can get is, because I want to try everything. But I can't drink it all. So I think that's also what's kind of weird, is that I'm really not here for the beer. I'm really here for everything else in the industry. And it's such an incredible industry. Like, the community, the culture, the collaborations, and again, the artistry. It blows my mind, really, how many cool things there are that you can go every day and not know about a new brewery or a new can. It feels like there's just so many. There's always new content. There's always something else to be done. Brewers are always experimenting, always having new releases. And it's like, who can keep up with this? But that's what makes it so much fun. And that's what makes it so much more like awe-inspiring, is that this isn't happening, you know, once a year. This is like, you know, for some breweries, like a bi-weekly or weekly or even more basis of putting out a new line or a new beer with a whole new label. And it makes me so happy. I cannot even tell you. Okay, so now that I've managed to kind of ramble on about I don't even know what already, I think that it's important for me to really introduce myself, because, you know, I don't know. I think personally, I wouldn't really want to listen to someone interview someone if I don't know who the person is. I don't know. And so a little bit of an explanation and some backstory about, you know, why I'm doing this, which I just touched on, but kind of how I got here and who I am. So if I haven't said this already, my name is Jenna Steele, and I love the craft beer industry, but not because I love drinking beer. And so, like, how does that even come to be? How do I end up here? Well, all right, I guess this is a podcast, and I'm gonna tell you. And I'll reiterate, I don't think any other episodes are gonna be like this. Everything else is really gonna be interview style, where I'm interviewing brewers, artists, people in the industry, etc. And much less about me, but we're kicking it off. And I feel like I gotta tell you who I am, because, like, who is this girl? So I'm Jenna, and I am hyped about this new chapter of my life, starting this, getting to share this with you, and drilling in on something I'm so passionate about. So how did I end up here? Well, when I had to start looking at colleges and stuff and, you know, doing whatever life decisions we're supposed to apparently make at, like, age 17 or 16, I came across this program called the Hotel School at Cornell. And all I knew was I couldn't be a doctor because I don't do blood. Well, I like being around people. I like talking to people. I like being social. I don't know. And so I come across this program, and it is like anything you could ever want, just right there. Every class was like, I mean, literally, instead of a science class, I had culinary. And okay, I'm not going to discredit it. Like, the classes I thought would be easy were, like, often the hardest. But I went to the hotel school because I like business. I wanted to work with people. You know, I think that the program just made so much sense. Instead of having to take a language, which I cannot learn another language, instead of having to do that, I get to take classes about beer and wine and spas and cruise ships and culinary. I mean, why would I not choose that? And so I got in, shockingly, and I went there really with the intention of being an event planner. I really always loved the thought of planning events, like big corporate events. And that's what I thought I was going to do. That's when I went there. But literally, my first week of freshman year, I somehow joined the executive board of the Cornell Real Estate Club. And I don't know how I pulled that off, because as a member for years later, like, we don't let freshmen in. Like, I don't really know what that was about. So yeah, within my first week at school that I went to because I wanted to, like, you know, work with people, put on events and stuff like that, I was then on the executive board of the real estate club, which might sound lame, was much more intense than you would think. I just immediately, because of this competitive nature, I think, I saw that, you know, that was the hard thing to do. So I wanted to do it. And I saw that, you know, in the hotel school, the quote, you know, hardest jobs and everything was all in, you know, finance and real estate. And it literally didn't occur to me to think if I wanted to do it, because I got so much satisfaction and enjoyment out of the process of proving myself that next thing I know, I've graduated college. I moved to Atlanta for a job in private equity doing hotel acquisitions, which was my absolute dream job at the time. Absolutely incredible experience. Exactly what I thought I wanted. And it made sense. It felt right. But looking back, you know, I had really spent all of college and then, you know, a couple years working, fully buying into this narrative. And like, I loved it genuinely. I did. But I think I loved it because of the competition, not because of what it actually was. I think I like proving myself. And so whether it's to someone else or proving it to myself, that's how I ended up there, honestly. You know, for years, I, you know, TA'd all the finance courses and did all these things. And next thing I know, I'm like totally, totally not an event planner for sure. That I can tell you. But I was so adamant about it. And that's what's kind of upsetting, because I remember I had this beers course. It was actually called Firm Grains, Cider, and Sake, taught by chef or professor, or I don't really know, but Douglas Miller. He is literally my favorite. And I took this class with him, and it was called Firm Grains, Cider, and Sake. But to be honest, it was really all beer. There was like, I think we did 1 week on sake. 1 week on sake, 1 week on cider, but the rest of it was all beer. And so for the first time, and by the way, did you know in the state of New York, the drinking age is like, doesn't matter as long as it's for academic purposes. And so underage, I was like legally given beer by my professor, which is just kind of fun. I don't know. Anyways, so I took this beers course and I fell in love with the industry. And I remember on like the first day, Professor Miller said to me like, or just said to the class, you know, if you don't think you like beer, give me till the end of the semester. I'll prove you wrong. There is a style for you. And I just thought that was fascinating that there are so many styles. The world does not just consist of warm Bud Light. Like, there is good beer out there and there's different kinds of it. I mean, news to me. And so I started learning about beer and craft beer, and I kind of geeked out a bit, you know, studying some of the, you know, brewing practices behind it. And what I thought was the most fun, to be honest, about that class or the content was the history of like, this is who invented the pull tab can. And they called it like a keg lined something at first. I don't even know. It's like, it was really interesting to learn about the process of explaining to consumers what cans are, because it sounds so silly now. Like, of course we know what cans are, but yeah, it was bottles. And also, and then but even after that, like, these cans didn't even have, like, the whole tab thing you pull up. I don't know. I never thought where that came from. So by the time I'm taking this beers course and, I mean, absolutely falling in love with the industry, because basically, the way the class worked was it was every Friday. It was only on Fridays, I believe, at like 11 a.m., which was kind of funny. But we would learn about either a new style or a new region or just a new anything. And our professor would, I mean, he would cultivate an incredible selection for us to try. Oh my God, I'll never forget this time. Someone was like, he was like, oh, like, what are the notes you're getting off of this? And someone said soy sauce. And I looked at them like they were crazy. And then I tasted it and I was like, oh, yes, this stout equals soy sauce. Anyway, but so I really fell in love with the industry. And what's so bizarre about it is that I don't even really, like, I really didn't love drinking beer that much. And so, I mean, I like it, but it's not, I mean, I love it. I love trying different styles. I really genuinely do, but that's not what got me. What got me was how every week I got to try 10 different beers from 10 different of the best, you know, craft breweries across the country, and, you know, being walked through like what I should be experiencing, or like not what I should be, because everyone's palate is different, but like, you know, I just fell in love with being like, why are these cans so cool? Why are these bottles so cool? Why are these? And then I would look up the breweries and I'd be like, why are these the coolest tap rooms I've ever seen? The marketing just blows me away. And the labeling and the canning and the bottling and it all just blew me away so much. The beer class was really small. The wine class was massive. It was like 700 person lecture. And to be honest, at the time, fully preferred drinking wine over beer any day, hands down. Give me a glass of wine. I don't want beer. And so if I took this beers class and all of a sudden I'm like obsessed with the industry, well, I'm sure I'll then fall in love with the wine industry. But the more I learn about the craft beer industry, the more I love it. The more I learned about the wine industry, I was like, this sucks. Like, oh God. I mean, okay, I'll say like in Australia, Argentina, Chile, like a lot of places do have some cool labels in wine. And I'm also newly learning that the craft beer community and industry isn't free from egos. And it's not like there's no ego and there's no like foofy competition or anything. I don't know. But in wine, it's just so much more apparent. I mean, it slaps you in the face. And so it was just so funny. Like I didn't like beer. I took this class, fell in love with the industry. So I fully expected to take the wines class and to fall in love with the industry. And it had the opposite impact. I was like, I now hate wine even more. And now all I want is beer. And so this was my senior year. I was full force, fully going into, you know, commercial real estate finance and, you know, going through the whole interview process, super days here and there, flying around. It was miserable. And I have beer class and someone from, why am I blanking on it? Wrench, the industrial arts. I don't know if it's the main guy, the owner. I don't know. I don't really remember. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to forget you. But he was so nice. And so he came and spoke to our class, so I tried Wrench from Industrial Beer Works. What's it called? Industrial Brewing Arts. Let me go. Let's record. Wait. Industrial Brewing Arts. There we go. And I tried Wrench, and I don't know if you've had it, but oh, it's good. Let me just say, get your hands on some of that. But so I kind of lingered after class a little bit to, I don't know, just chat him up and to chat with professor a little bit. And I don't know. And I was going into real estate and finance in that way. But I loved the beer industry. But it was like at that point, which is silly to say, but at that point, you know, I was you know, a couple years into being so convinced that this was my path, and I didn't want to admit that maybe I was wrong. And oh my gosh. And so I remember then the industrial arts brewing guy and my professor were trying to explain to me how, like, a lot of the same skills that I have and, like, things that I do for real estate finance are actually really applicable to craft beer, because if we're trying to figure out the highest and best use of this hotel, you know, is the highest and best use, are we going to make the most money if we renovate it and make it a different brand, or if we demolish it and put in a parking garage and sell it to the town? Like, you know, real estate, there's a million things you can do. But they were explaining to me how my skill set was really applicable because, you know, you take that same logic. Well, okay, say you have, you know, 20 like tanks, or, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm probably butchering the terminology there. Tanks, right? Like the big silver vat thing, beer. Yeah. But if you only have 20, so then they're like, okay, think about the math this way. You can make 20 beers at a time. The, you know, the heavier, higher ABV, like the porters and the stouts, they take longer. And so they have to sit, they have to take up that space for longer, but we can probably charge a couple more dollars for it. Whereas something just flies off the shelves, they can't make enough of it. And so what do they do? What's the decision? Is it worth letting a beer sit for longer and taking up that real estate? Because then you can sell it for more. Well, I guess that's where my job would have been. That's where I would have put together the model and figured that out. It's, the risk reward factor, and what's the greatest and best use of your brewing equipment at the time, given you got to make decisions like that. And so they kind of framed it to me as such, and saying that my skills are really applicable, and that if I'm even considering it, I should really switch over to the craft beer industry. And I wasn't having any of it. As much as I knew I would love it, and as much as it almost kind of felt like this guy was offering me a job, I don't know. I was really sucked into that competitive nature, the competition of, I mean, it was a toxic environment, let me just say, but I was really sucked into this environment of like, oh, where are you interviewing? Did you get the second interview? Are you going to the super day? When are they flying you out? Like, what's going to happen? And, you know, what's your signing bonus going to be? Like, what kind of finance are you going to do? You're going to go banking? You're going to go private equity? Like, what kind of sellouts are we all going to be? But, I mean, I did it too. And I couldn't rationalize it. I had spent, at that point, you know, 4+ years being so confident in what I wanted to do. I remember saying the words, and I quote, "I feel so fortunate that I know exactly what I want to do with my life and that my education lines up exactly with it. I want to be in commercial real estate, hopefully specifically with hospitality, but I want to be a developer, and that is what I want to do with my life." And I remember like genuinely like feeling sorry for some of my friends who didn't know exactly what they wanted to do. And now here I am. So what happened was I graduated, I took a job in Atlanta. It was an incredible experience. I learned so much. But, and you know, I really do think COVID had a big part of it. I think without COVID, I maybe could have stayed there in, you know, 10, 15 years thinking I was perfectly happy and just thriving and loving every second of it. When the truth is, like, that's not who I'm meant to be. Just because I, you know, thrive off of the competitive energy and the desire to like prove myself, that doesn't mean that's what I'm supposed to do with my life. And so I think without COVID, I may have woken up in 10, 15 years and been like, what did I do with my 20s, my childhood? Like, what did I do with my life? I didn't want that. And it's COVID. It's, I don't know what it is, but I kind of, I had to make a change. I was so stressed out, and you know, the job, it just wasn't what it needed to be for me at the time. And I really wanted to take a chance on myself and do something I love for myself and see if I can make a business out of it. See if I can make, you know, a community out of it. See if I can make this a thing. Because after working so hard for other people, and at the end of the day, kind of feeling like I care more about your company than you do, I was like, imagine if I worked that hard, if I worked those 800 hours a week for myself. I was like, what could happen? Like, imagine what could happen. And so I'm doing it. I'm here. Like, that's literally what I decided to do. I was like, let me take a chance on myself. It might take me years to have any sort of results that make me feel like this is a validated decision, especially coming away from, you know, such a prestigious education and such a lucrative career right out of the gate. But I mean, I want to first acknowledge that I'm so lucky that, I mean, my parents will never let me be homeless. If that weren't the case, I probably wouldn't have done this. I'm taking a huge risk doing this, leaving what I was doing before, leaving finance, but when it comes down to it, I want to take a risk on myself, but it's scary leaving an income, like leaving my life and my job to go after something I want. And so I just feel like so many things came together. It was like COVID gave me this wake-up call about that I think a lot of people had about like, how am I spending my time? What do I want to do? So I decided to take this huge risk, and it's really freaking terrifying. But I wanted to do something I love. I wanted to, you know, further this conversation. There are so few people on the internet talking about the marketing of craft beer and everything. And it's only growing. I mean, it's only getting crazier. Like, it's only going to get bigger. And I was like, if I could work that hard for myself, what could happen? You know what? Let's find out. Because the world just broke. The world literally broke. Everything is out the door. If there's a time or a reason or an anything to understand why someone wants to make a change like that, yeah, I think COVID does that. But also, what I'm saying, I'm doing like a quote second career. No. I'm 23. There's no second career to be had. It's just life. Like, it just feels so dramatic to be like, feel like I'm leaving something behind to pursue this, when really, well, I don't think that to be the case, but also I think I'm coming more into who I actually am and what I actually want. But I'm really grateful that COVID kind of changed all of it, because this really is much more who I am as a person. And it's kind of funny because I feel like anyone that's met me in the past 6-7 years probably is seeing this and saying to themselves, like, oh my God, Jenna has lost her mind. Like, what is she doing? But what's funny about it is that me working in private equity and doing finance and everything was much more of a departure of who I am as a like human with interests than this is. And it's funny because I feel like people are like, what are you doing? Like, what do I want? Like, what are the driving factors in my life? I should have taken up industrial brewing arts when I had the chance, but that is okay. we live and we learn, right? With all of that, I'm just so excited to finally be getting this out there. I've been working on this for so long. I'm so excited for you to hear this, to hear the interviews, to just, I'm so excited. And so, what this is going to look like is every week interviewing someone in the craft beer industry who has a big focus on the branding and the artwork, whether it's an artist or a brewer or I think I have an interview next week with the owner and brewmaster because the owner does the artwork himself and it's like a collaborative process that way. I've done some interviews with just the artists. I've done some with just people or like just brewers. And so there are so many fun conversations to be had because I feel like because I'm not in it first and foremost for the beer, I don't get as distracted by beer-related questions so that it's kind of different. It's like, I don't know, I've been having a lot of fun with a lot of these interviews. It's kind of different. Like, I think a lot of it's questions that they've never really been asked before. Hearing about where some of the personality comes from, but also like how some of my favorite beers from some of my favorite breweries came to be. Because, I mean, I don't know, does anyone like craft beer without appreciating the craft brewers? Like, I feel like it's such an integral part of the industry. You can't have craft beer without artists. You can't have like cool tap rooms without murals. I mean, am I wrong? I don't know. But no, I mean, well, I'm not wrong. I can tell you that much. And so here I am. So here I am with this podcast. I'm so excited that this is the first episode. Apologies if I've been blabbing forever about nothing. For the most part, all my interviews really are me interviewing other people and, you know, getting the story out of them. So if you're interested in breweries and, you know, learning how their cans came to be and how their marketing came to be, or if you're an artist, like, I think what's super cool about this too is that it's not just for people in the beer industry. It's because the focus is on the art and on the graphics and on the marketing and everything. It's like, if you're an artist or, you know, graphic designer or something who would think it's fun to design a beer label or never even thought of craft beer labels being a job or a full-time work or something, it's like, that's who this is for. Like, I want people who, I mean, for the most part, the people that are going to listen to this are going to be people that love beer too. But I want to talk about the cans. I want to talk about the pretty cans and the art. And that's it. So that is kind of my first take at introducing you to the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast, a beer can lover production. But I do think that the art and the marketing and everything is so important because it is what consumers see. It really does affect you when you look at it and psychologically to drink it. I mean, it's just, anyways, it's amazing. And so I really hope that I didn't just blab for far too long about myself. I just wanted to give, you know, a little bit background on who I am, why I'm here. I love this industry. I love it all. I cannot wait for you to hear the next episodes, because I'm sorry, this was probably just me going on forever. And you don't need that. You want interviews. You want to know the stories behind the beer and the labels and the people. And that's what this podcast is. That's what we're bringing to you. So you want to know the story behind it? I got you. All good. So while I'm at it and I, you know, got to do this plug here, if you could please, it would warm my heart if you could please click either follow or subscribe on wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. So that way you're, when the new ones come out, it automatically, like, I don't think it necessarily notifies you, but it'll like download them if you're like on Wi-Fi or something. And so my new episodes will always be ready for you. And it would mean a lot if you could, you know, follow or subscribe. If my soliloquy here hasn't scared you off too much and you are already just loving this, amazing. Feel free to leave a review and a comment if you so feel like it. But yeah, so the other thing is that, you know, this is obviously an audio platform. And so talking about art and visual things seems a little counterproductive to do on a video platform, or sorry, audio platform, but I don't care. I don't think that's really the point here, but I do think it is important for you to be able to see what we're talking about. And so every week I'll be posting on my Instagram photos of, it'll be obvious like what episode it is, but also you'll be able to see any pictures of what cans we talked about in that interview or on that episode, and any maybe pictures of the tap room or something, just because I don't want to like go off and be like, this is so cool, like this is sick, like I love looking at this, and then you being like, okay, like, well, it took me 20 minutes to Google it. Like, I want you to be able to just as easily as possible, just a quick tap, tap, and see what we're talking about. So stay up to date with the podcast and with me at Beer Can Lover on Instagram. And I also set up, so it's pod, P-O-D, at beercanlover.com. So I set this up for any podcast-related inquiries. So if you have a question or a comment, or if you have someone, or if you have a brewery that you want me to interview and you want to like nominate them, or if you just want to email me and tell me that I'm amazing. So shoot an email with any comments, questions you have. I would love to hear from you. Let me know like if there are any questions you want me to be asking the brewers or artists. If there's anything specific, you know, any specific breweries, artists, questions, comments, etc., hit me up. Pod at beercanlover.com. And I think that's all I got for you today. So I'm just really excited. I hope that you can somehow kind of feel this excitement in me too. You know, I feel like the rest of my world is starting now. I feel like my life gets to start now because I get to do something I love like this. And I'll say I've been having a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoyed this. I really hope that you tune in for the next episodes. I'm so excited for you to hear them. I hope that this was not too painful and that you make it through to the next episode to hear from our friends at, I'm right away. I don't want to say what brewery it is because of what if we change the order of this, of what episodes we're releasing. Okay, so I guess it's just a big secret for now. So stay tuned, follow, subscribe, whatever. Stay tuned. I cannot wait for you to hear what's to come. I also have some other projects that I'm working on, you know, related that I am so excited for. Like, holy crap. I think it's going to be awesome. I think you're going to lose your mind. I think that it's going to be like, I think it's going to be kind of like the coolest thing. Like, I'm going to have so much fun making it. I'm going to have so much fun, like, doing business out of this. But yeah, so thank you. I appreciate your time and your patience and your enthusiasm, even though I can't see it, I can feel it. And yeah, so I'll sign off now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Craft Brewers Creative Podcast. Please follow, subscribe, etc., wherever you are listening. And I will be in your ears soon enough, hopefully. I'll be here every single week. New episode, new guest. Honestly, besides this one, I don't really foresee myself doing a solo episode again, alone again. But I will be kind of weaving in and out. I mean, if you can't tell, I could literally just talk forever. So I will be, though, you know, kind of just weaving in and out some just personal anecdotes, stories, my opinions and everything, because, I mean, I don't know, I'm a human, I can't help it, I want to talk. And so I don't know if you feel like you know me any more after this, less after this. Let me know what questions you have for me. If I didn't answer what you had been hoping I would answer in my initial episode where I kind of introduced myself in the podcast. So, I don't know, guys. Cheers. I'm smiling and I'm like holding up a little fake fist here because I don't have a beer on me. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.